I thought I was going to have a rough time next week following James Knox. I'm preaching down in Tennessee, but I got to follow that tonight. Lord, help me. Homiletically sound from the heart. Most of that not in his notes. Don't you wish it would come so easy for you and me? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we could just come out of this sin-sick sewer of a world for a little while and just seek your face and feast at your table and be with your people and sing your praises just before we got to go out and weather the storm again. And Lord, again, we pray for all those in need tonight. Pray for those in the mountaintop and those in the valley low. Lord, give me boldness to preach tonight. Help me not to go any further than the Bible goes and not to go any less than the Bible goes. And really need help with this text here tonight. And so we'll just trust you and lean on you. And it's just a privilege and an honor to be here one more time to preach your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 closes, like so many of Paul's books, with a series of practical and personal admonitions and instructions, almost like Proverbs, just these last things I want to tell you. And it sort of mirrors 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll go there in a little bit, but we'll just start right into it tonight. Won't even read the entire text, but we'll just launch right out. Verse 1, I'll just comment in some, and then just camp a little bit on something that stuck out to me. I love when stuff sticks out to me, when that's where we're at as a church. Where we're at is the things we deserve. So it says, let brotherly love continue. You know, we often hear from our pulpits, you got to start doing this and you got to start doing that. But the challenge is when you start doing something right, to continue doing something right. Your exercise of faith is not measured by what it takes you to start something. It's what it takes you to stop something. So the thread that's going to come down through here, he's going to say continue. I wonder how many committed to reading the Bible through back in January. To you, Jesus said, continue ye in my word. I wonder if God's given you love for people. If you're not careful, you get to despising people. Jesus said, continue ye in my love. Has God granted you a measure of faith? Continue in the faith. Have you started witnessing? You know what I've learned over however many years I've been in this thing? If you're not careful, you'll stop witnessing as fast as you started. You'll find yourself saying, when is the last time I told somebody about Jesus? When is the last time we have to be diligent? Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing. Let this church never be a church that settles in and shuts up, but speaks up for Jesus Christ, witnessing. You'll need as much help to continue witnessing as you do to start witnessing. Something's going to offend you. Something's going to distract you. Something's going to crowd out your witness. I almost got knocked off the rails with public ministry when I went through some things in my life, and I just thought, ugh. But praise the Lord, his hand is stretched out still. Have you committed to praying? I hope you don't say, oh, I used to pray. Oh, remember them old prayer meetings. Oh, listen, continue in prayer, which is what the apostle said. He said this, take heed thyself. I'm talking about continuing a little bit here. This was going to be a message in itself, but I got four other messages I want to preach tonight, so we'll get to those next. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Doctrine. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Man, there are some kooky, crazy doctrines going around. And I have my opinion why. And these are Bible believers. I talked to one brother here the other day. He said he talked to a family member. I'm talking about a King James Bible believer for 4 hours, and he's defending why the earth is not flat, it's round. A Bible believer. The earth is flat, and they're not telling us. And they're going up in those spaceships are all fake pictures. And my question is this, why? Do they make more money? Do they get more votes? What is it that they tell us the world? Why is it that they tell us that the world is round when it's really flat? I'll tell you what it is. It makes you feel like you're a little up on a little throne because you got something up on everybody else because nobody's getting nothing done for God. That's why. So I can say, like the preacher said, I'm right. Oh, what do you believe? You believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe in the second coming. You believe in the you believe the earth is round? And you wonder why our kids are dancing in the charismatic churches. Continue in the doctrine which you've learned. Verse 2. Be not forgetful, see? Continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And I've given this. Now, you're going to say, what about this, preacher? I don't know about this. I know that angels showed up in the Bible, and they always appeared as men, not sexless creatures with wings. And I only know of one personal testimony. I'm creepy about people talking about angels and gifts and all, because I've seen with the charismatic movement. But I knew a fella one time, and this was a King James Bible believer, dispensationally sound, and I won't say who it was. And Pastor Folk said this to me. He said, we go into Kodak, and it's early in the morning, dark all winter long, dark going in and dark coming out. Hallelujah. And he come in one morning. I was waiting in his office. We used to have a cup of coffee there. He was white as a sheet. I said, what's the matter? We had to cross Lake Avenue coming in. He said, and I stepped out not thinking, I don't know what, but he looked and there was a car. And it was on him and it was coming. And he said, you remember this? Something or someone pushed me. He said, now don't tell nobody that, because we're not charismatic. We're not supposed to believe that. I remember Chuck Zander had that big old bus he used to drive. He said, man, I got that thing stuck. He said, I taxed my angels today. Now, I'm not saying guardian angels and all that, but I'll tell you, they're sent forth to minister. They're sent forth to minister. And I don't know about all that thing of who's who and what's what, but I will say this, entertaining strangers. The culture of the Bible comes through here because you read it from Genesis all the way through. When a stranger came your way, it was almost an obligation to refresh them. It was an obligation to feed their beast of burden, to wash their feet, and to take care of them, to feed them. Some of you have seen it on overseas missions trips. You end up in a hut in Africa or New Guinea or something, and they got one chicken, and you're going to get to eat it. You're a stranger. You know what that is? That's Bible culture, entertaining strangers. It's not that way anymore. Prosperity has made us independent. We used to need each other. Now we don't even want each other. Oh, I got thinking about this, and I hesitate to preach this because I don't want you to do it to me. But when I was a kid, people just stopped over. I mean, every Saturday, Uncle Angelo would just roll in. My cousin Lenny worked at the airport. He'd just stop over. Hey, Connie and Dave are here. Yeah, Connie. Oh, yeah, we thought we'd stop over. Put a pot of coffee. The world. Can you imagine with our schedules today, you're facing a Saturday after 40, 50 hours a week, and Uncle Frank and Aunt Esther stop over? I'll tell you, we went from the front porch in America to the back deck to the man cave. No visitors tonight, right? Some of you guys, but you don't count. Or girls. You see visitors come in here, and we try to be the friendliest church in town. We're the only church in town. But man, they're like, why are these people saying hi to me? You could just see that they're petrified. Let's be careful to be friendly and maintain interest in others outside of ourselves. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Verse 3, I'm going somewhere. Remember, see, there we are again. So you got continue. Don't be forgetful. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And I'm not sure that this is the body of Christ. I think it's putting yourself in their shoes like you're in their body. But notice the thread. Continue, forget not, remember. In other words, you're doing something right. Keep doing it. The tendency is when it comes to people going through stuff is out of sight, out of mind. There's a persecuted church all over the world tonight. And I wonder when's the last time we prayed for our brethren in North Korea. You're a Christian in North Korea, you're in trouble. You're not getting a job. There's people suffering adversity on different, and I think this church is awesome at it. I think this church is great at it. I think this church knows what's going on with the brethren. But he says, consider what they're going through as if it were you. Now it's going to get a little harder here. Verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all. We'll start with that. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. You say, how far are you going to go on this? No further than the Bible goes, okay? So you can breathe. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, somebody must have been forbidding marriage or not elevating marriage. And the Holy Ghost sets it straight. Marriage is honorable. In spite of what's going on today, they shack up. And they lay up, and then you get knocked up, and then they split up. We were at that parade, man. I was sick. Those little groups that they had singing through there, those little girls, 12, 11, 14, 15, shaking like a bunch of dancers in an evil nightclub. But look what's going on here. He says, marriage is honorable. Can I say, it's still honorable. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry. That's what the Roman Catholic Church did with the priests in 1200. It's called celibacy. Celibacy. In fact, there's this group called the Shakers. They were a breakoff of the Quakers. They were called the Quaker Shakers because they used to have epileptic fits when they worshiped the Lord. They make furniture. It's a big... Women founded it. Not that it matters. They focused on the second coming of Jesus Christ. If that's always the main focus, like it was with Charles Taze Russell and the Jehovah's Witness, you better be careful. And the equality of the sexes, and Anne Lee, called Mother Shaker, got a revelation directly from God. And basically said that the marriage bed is the root of all evil. Well, that's your first trouble. What Bible are you reading, Annie? And if you got a Bible outside of the King James, it says the love of money is a root of all evil, so you're just agreeing with them anyways. So she said that the highest form of sacrifice is celibacy in marriage. They died out. That is no joke. That's what happens when you exalt epileptic fits over the Word of God. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. The greatest sacrifice is stick your nose in a book and learn it and know God so to be able to live right and not listen to some woman. I'm treading on Bible ground here, but I'm careful. Our marriages ought to be the best. And the reason they ought to be the best is because unlike the heathen marriages, they include body and soul and spirit. See, that heathen world out there, all they got is the body in the bed. And you know what that is? Never satisfied. Never satisfied. And that's why they perverted it beyond imaginations. One big flesh fest that will never be satisfied. The marriage bed is undefiled. I'm going to shock you now. I'm really going to shock you. God knows what brings babies into the world. Do you realize what he said indirectly when he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth? All the guys are saying, amen. Do you realize what he said indirectly when he said, I'll multiply, if you follow me in Deuteronomy, I'll multiply the fruit of your ground, I'll multiply the fruit of your trees, I'll multiply the fruit of your body. You realize what he was saying? Of course, that kids ain't seen as a blessing anymore, but that's another story. What I'm saying is, don't let them distort the thing. The marriage bed is sanctioned by God Almighty. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. I sense I better move on. Verse 5 of Hebrews 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see the contrast there? He's enough. He's enough. He didn't say, I'll supply this, and I'll supply your needs, and I'll supply your wants. He may have said those things in other places, but here he said, be content with such things as ye have, like the preacher said Saturday morning, because I'm with you. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. Is he all you need? Is he all you want? You want to get rich quick. I know some of you want that money. You just want that money. I'm going to tell you how to get rich quick. Get contentment. The rich man is poor without contentment, and the poor man is rich with contentment. Like that, you can get rich. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Invest in that. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We are the most paranoid, fearful. They're going to take the guns away. And maybe they are. But if they do, I'm still going to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And they may take my 45 caliber, but they ain't going to take my 66 caliber because I got it down in here. Amen. Oh, what if the liberals get in? What if they sanction? They're already in. The most conservative today are the liberals of 50 years ago. Verse 7. Help me to preach tonight, Lord. Remember them which have the rule over you, That's me and Jay and Charlie. That's your parents, but in this case, it's the pastors. And I know some people don't like that, but it's just the way it is. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And I just want to say this, you are above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, 99.9%, you proved it this last weekend. Just a joy. The preacher said God loves you so much that he gave you these preachers. I think God loves us so much that he gave us you. Dedicated people that have left ministries, left churches, and come and said, preacher, lead the way and we will follow. Thank you. Thank you. Verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now this is the charismatic's favorite verse. Don't be confused with his plan for the ages. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam something he didn't tell you. God never told you, you can go out in the garden and eat any fruit of any tree except for that one tree. You can't eat that. You can't. He didn't tell you that. He didn't tell you to get up out of your country unto the land that I will show thee, and I'm going to give you a physical, visible, literal king. He didn't tell you that. So his plan for the ages changes. So you know, you know why I'm not babbling in some unknown language here and trying to raise the dead? Because I'm not trying to win Jews to Jesus Christ before they had a Bible in this world. That's why. So when people, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in the name of Jesus, he be healed. After I read something, what a disgrace, what a bad testimony. This TV evangelist, I don't know who it is, he's seeking donations for a 45, I think, million, if not more, dollar jet. Because if Jesus was a here, he wouldn't be riding around on no donkey. Copeland says, those plane airplanes are full of demons. Yeah, because you're on it. We ride in style. 45 million for these poor people. I told one of them guys, well, I called them up one time. I said, they were pleading for money on the TBN or whatever station. I says, all my pants got holes in them. Do you think I could just have $20? Click. That's a one-way street, man. One-way street. Jesus Christ. But with that said, why'd you say all that? Because his plan for the ages changes, but his character doesn't. And his person doesn't. And his attributes don't. And his love doesn't. That's why we are confident in the security of the believer. Because when he says everlasting, he means everlasting. And if it meant everlasting 2,000 years ago, it means everlasting today. Oh, we fall out of love. We lose interest. We get offended. We get bored. We get distracted. Our commitments wane. Not his. Sometimes I got to fight not to think about what I shouldn't be thinking about. And sometimes I got to fight to be thinking about what I should be thinking about. But from probably an eternity past to when this old sinner got saved, until then, his thoughts to me are innumerable. You couldn't count how many times he thinks about me. That's a blessing tonight. Verse 9. And this is what I'm going to preach today, and I won't be long tonight. Famous last words. Verse 9. Let's read this slow. Be not carried about with diverse or different or many and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Somebody is occupied with meat. Somebody is concocting some doctrine and doctrines that have to do with meat. Meat is associated in the Bible with the flesh. That's what meat is. It's flesh, carnal, carne. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm just going to leave you with a little thought from a little observation that I've made around these parts. that I hope will help you and challenge you, challenge me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Oh, I wish some of you can get this. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. I can do whatever I want and still go to heaven because I'm in Jesus Christ. But I can't do whatever I want and be expedient. Let me read on. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now watch this. Meats for the belly. That's your flesh. And the belly for meats. You take it in, that's where it goes, you put it out. That's what your belly's for, that's what the meat is for. But God shall destroy both it and them. He's going to destroy your belly one day because your flesh is going to be consumed. Your flesh is going to rot in the grave. And he's going to destroy the meats someday. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We looked at that, but we'll look at it quick again, for I think. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 3, we looked at the first part, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, that's a little distant from some of you, but a lot of us came up in a religion that there was 40 days prior to Easter, you didn't eat any meat on Friday. And it always intrigued me. I mean, we'd be in school and Friday, this is how much influence our church had. In the public schools, you ate fish on Friday. Toward the latter end, they started having pizza. And when I was feeling spiritual, I would trade my 3 pieces of pepperoni on those little square piece of pizza for the guy's 2 slices of cheese. They'd give you a little hunk of cheese. And I'm Catholic. We can't eat meat on Fridays. I'll trade you my pepperoni for your cheese. Isn't that something? Going to hell in a handbasket. And I remember one time just digging in, and I thought, I ate meat on Friday. And I'm probably 17 years old thinking, I never thought about what happens if you eat meat on Friday. Commanding to abstain from meats, which God had. Don't tell me God wants you to be a vegetarian. If you're a vegetarian, hallelujah. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the belly and meats. And the belly and meats don't make you spiritual. I'm sorry. The most wicked generation that ever walked on the face of the earth were vegetarians, pre-flood. But, if you eat, listen, I, Robin Ireland, the sweetest saint on the planet. I'm over there in Ukraine. They're eating sala, raw pig fat. Now, you probably don't want to eat the raw pig fat here because of what all that goes into it. I said, Robin, that's not good for you. I said, we got some people, they won't eat white rice. And here's what she said to me, and I'll never forget. She goes, brother, only in America. You tell some North Korean pastor who's trying to stay alive that God isn't in white rice. I remember saying to a woman, what would you do if your son wanted you to go to Japan as a missionary? God wouldn't call him to a place where they only had white rice. Come on. That's almost as bad as the Shakers. Meats is about the body. Leave it about the body. 1 Corinthians 6, See, I even got a bell on that one. That's the Holy Ghost telling confirmation. What about the body? Remember what we're doing here. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats. That's what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. You know this verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Christian body is the temple of Almighty God. And in the Old Testament, the people came to the temple, and in the New Testament, the temple goes to the people. That's a pretty staggering thought, that these bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In it dwells no good thing. I put no confidence in it, but it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And here's what I found about this body of flesh. We're talking about meats. And like Lucifer, it doesn't appreciate just reflecting the glory of God. It doesn't appreciate taking a back seat to God. The flesh isn't satisfied being the temple of God. The flesh wants to be God. The flesh wants to call the shots. The flesh wants to have its way. The flesh wants to get the attention. The flesh is selfish. If the flesh had its way for many of us, it would eat itself to death. Baptists joke about it. Well, bless God, the preacher's belt is nothing more than a fence around a chicken graveyard. And then that big fat preacher's getting on you for watching TV. Man, I remember Jimmy Hood one time. I couldn't believe it. He was preaching, Mark, and there was a... And I'm not... Listen, I struggle with it. You know that. It's by the grace of God. But this guy was gigantic, sitting behind him on the platform, and he got up to this old preacher, Jimmy Hood. He said, some of you preachers, you get up there, you put your big fat belly on the pulpit, and you start preaching, I got someone send one of them. And I thought, I can't believe he's saying this with this guy standing there. The body wants to be God. Don't you be temperate. Don't you stop. You get it when you want it, how you want it, how hot you want it, how cold you want it, and as much as you want it. The body wants to be worshipped. Feed me. But here's the other end of the warning for the exercise craze that I see in our midst. And I'm going to qualify before I say it. I do it. I've done it all my life. I would probably be dead without it. But here's my point. Young people, listen to me. Don't get preoccupied with the body. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The body is not to be glorified. It is the temple of God. It is not God. It is not to be worshipped. Listen, you got to do something in this world that we live in to get your heart rate above 70 beats a minute once a week, lest we rot from the inside out. I'm for exercise. I'm all for it. Now, if you're working like this guy is, and some of these guys run, I have a heart rate monitor, and I can't run for back reasons, but I walk as fast as I possibly can for 2 hours every day. You know what I found? I found that when I'm working in the yard, raking and cutting, and my heart rate is higher than when I walk as fast as I can. But we don't live that lifestyle anymore. So you have to do something. That's not what I'm saying. But here's the practical advice. Keep a Bible balance with the body. Be careful who you idolize. I could call some names of the most beautiful people on the planet, and most of you, I'm talking about 30 years ago, you wouldn't even know who they are, and if you saw them now, you'd vomit. And that's going to happen to you. Because when all that's gone, what's going to be left? Balance. Keep it under subjection, but put no confidence in it. It is the temple of God, but it is not God. It's not to be worshipped. When the body becomes the emphasis, you are going to get in trouble, and I am going to get in trouble. When the body becomes the emphasis, your marriage is going to get in trouble. When the body becomes the emphasis, your church is going to get in trouble. When the body becomes the emphasis, your nation is going to be in trouble. The body be, now I'm talking about the fat guy, but hang on. Because the body becoming the emphasis is where eating disorders stem from. The body becoming the emphasis is where obesity stems from. The body becoming the emphasis is where immodesty stems from. The body becoming the emphasis is where church splits and division come from. I remember we were ministering, and I will call the church years ago. I don't think we were in the business 2 years, Charlie. And we're in this church, and they're having a church picnic at this place down in the basement, you know, church on the grounds. This guy comes up to me, "You're not going to eat that, are you?" "Why not?" "That's pork. It's forbidden." I talked to that preacher, that guy done split that church apart over a pork chop. And that's why he says, those that are occupied are not profitable. Because that's all they think about is the body. You better keep a Bible balance. You say, "Preacher, my kids love sports. Preacher, I'm addicted to exercise." They say it squirts that serotonin, I don't know what it's called, but it is. If you're an exerciser and you miss, if you're a runner and you miss, something's not right. "Preacher, I love baking, but I don't know when to stop testing. Do I just forbid everything?" You know I'm not saying that, and I'm going to show you. "Do I just be a monk and go climb up in a tree and fast and pray and hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil?" No, because those guys were wicked as the rest of us. Romans 6, 1 Kings 19. I'll end with this. Romans 6.
"You're just against sports.
I've been to 100 of your games and others that have been through this place in the last 20 years. Don't tell me I'm against sports.
You're just against..."
Hear me out. We'll start with Romans 6, 19. "Because I have a dream today. I speak after the manner of men..." Did I say Romans 6, 19? Yep. "Because the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity..." Unto iniquity. "Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness." He's saying this, the way, and this really fits for the first generation, I'm going to take it practically and apply it to the second generation. He said, the way you used to go after that sin, go after God. And here's, get 1 Kings 19. Verse 10. "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. He was so jealous that he thought he was the only one left, and he wasn't. And that's a whole nother message on the preacher's pity party. Here's my dream. As I witness this exercise craze and sports craze and education craze and all these other crazes that could just be, if not careful, changing the whole face of this ministry. Can we be as spiritual as we are physical? What if, I have a dream today, what if we just gave God equal time, equal effort, equal enthusiasm, equal zeal as we did for the body? Here's what he said. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. I want you to see it. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now that's some people's life verse. I'm going to tell you, profits little. I've got to walk as fast as I can for 6 hours to lose 1 pound. I can boff off a row of double stuffs and gain it in 4 minutes. You realize how much you all-star basketball players. I saw you play. I was impressed the other day. I enjoy watching. I love competition. I love finesse. I love execution. But do you realize, all you that have played for Cornerstone and North Star and whatever the other guy, you realize how long you got to practice and drill and sweat and drag your parents around and gas money and this and that and still come out and lose? And outside of a little discipline, which I'm for, and a little bit of an ego trip, 43 years from now, it won't matter for anything. Nothing. Nothing. We have someone in our midst that if you knew what they accomplished, and I don't want to embarrass somebody who's humble, so I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to ask you a question. You've got to be honest, and God knows if you're lying. In our midst is a man that won, I'm sorry, that came second place in the national championship high hurdles over 35 bracket. In what year? Yeah. What's that make it? I think high hurdles, over 35, second place, national champion. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If you lie, God's going to curse you. Who cares? Maria. Guys, don't overemphasize that body. Parents, don't live your life. If you're going to live your life through something, live it through that being up there that's going to last. And if you think that embarrasses them, this will really embarrass them. And now I'm going to ask you a question again, because there's someone else in our midst that brought water physically to a village in Zambia that's never seen it and open the door to bring the water of the Word of God. How many of you care about that? Hallelujah. They're occupied with meats. They're occupied. Listen, the world is occupied with beauty. The world is occupied with muscles. The world is occupied with the flesh. Take care of the temple, but don't overemphasize it.
Amen.
I have a dream today. What if our guys all knew the prophets like they knew the players? What would our witness be like if we strove the way we strove on those courts and on those fields and on those racetracks? What would our services be like if we, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about us, came with the anticipation of our team playing in the big game? I seen y'all the other night, and I'm not complaining. I'm glad for zeal. But don't tell me you ain't that type to say, yeah, for an overgrown, overpaid heathen that wouldn't give you the time of day. And you're all loyal. Oh, why don't you brag on Jesus? You talk with the best of them at your workplace about who won last year and this guy there. Did you see him? I wonder when you could talk with a Jehovah's Witness on a street corner. I wonder, can you talk with a Mormon or a Shaker? Well, they're all dead. You can't talk to them. I mean, come on, guys. We play baseball with old men, and we are into it. Poor Dan. I never seen a guy want to win a game that means nothing so bad. He said the other night, he said, the ball's coming. You know, and I'm making a confession here. You know, my kids, I'm old now. I don't want to go watch old men play. My kids go and watch. They come home, I say, the first question I ask, Cola, what did I ask you last night? Where are you at? The first question, who won, Mr. who won, Mr. Gluszewski or Mr. Barkowski? Dan says, the ball's coming right at me. I put up my mitt. Whew. And it goes, it wasn't a high ball. The sun wasn't in my eyes. It's just, whoo. But we get serious, man. We come out there and we're. What would this place be like if we rooted for Jesus and salvation? And I appreciate that Sunday morning, man, when in spite of the heavy spirit that was here, Brother Doug, man, he was having a time, wasn't he? I'm looking over at my mother-in-law. She's going, God. They don't have live stream, so they can't see it. Did you see what that guy did with that? I mean, I'm amazed. 30 feet or however far. But not as amazed as I am with that. What if we stuffed ourselves with the Word of God the way we do at the picnics and Thanksgiving? What if we avoided sin like we do sugar?
I did it. I can't eat a carrot. I can't kiss you, honey. Your lip gloss has sugar in it.
Gluten. Aspartame. Which shall perish with the using. What if we were as courageous for souls as we are on those courts and those diamonds and those tracks? What if we, and we do. I don't want to beat you up here. You guys are good. But I see tendency. What if we got a degree in God? I didn't say Bible Institute, I said God. I know God like I knew split left, motion left, option right, on two. Ready? I know exactly if there's somebody here, I hit him. If there's nobody here, I hit him. If there's nobody there, I hit play side. If there's nobody there, I hit backside. That's years ago I had to remember that, and I still remember it. Gentle reminder, this one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. And if you live long, you're going to be ugly. But you're how beautiful when you're doing this and you're doing this. And how beautiful is your inside? That'll take you right through to eternity. Don't get too overoccupied. Lord, the inward man can be renewed day by day. I know it's hard to tell a young man that. Lord, make me as spiritual as I am physical. That's all I'm asking, equal time. Make me as intense. Make me as excited. Make me as knowledgeable with the things that are going to last. Help me to stuff my heart with your word. Help me to be as careful with, if I eat a little, I might get a little flab under my arms. Help me to be as concerned with that as the things I look in when I take in here and I take in here. Help me to be as courageous. Cornerstone on three, 1, 2, 3, go roof! Whoa, where'd they come from? Help me to be as courageous as I am with the little things in the world that really don't matter much. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Let's stand. Pastor, come, we'll have a song.